Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Mr. Hamm and I have had a rather spirited text message exchange today after he was named to the Super Bowl 50th anniversary team. The quarterback is not Terry Bradshaw. And justifiably so.
I was going to say, I wouldn't even have thought that would be the case.
I figure Steeler fans were like, oh, come on, he's 4-0.
No, I would have said, I have not seen it. I saw the announcement, but I didn't see it. My first guess would have been Joe Montana.
That's exactly what it is. 11 touchdown passes and no interceptions. That's the big one. And please do not start shoveling the, he had Jerry Rice. He had Jerry Rice for two of them. Hey, you want to know what the cast of characters happened to be for the first one? Oh, I don't know. Ricky Patton, Earl Cooper, Freddie Solomon, Dwight Clark. Oh, boy. Yep, a lot of Hall of Famers in that group.
Now, ESPN's was a little different.
I didn't see ESPN's. I only saw the official one. Jack made it. So
ESPN has Brady.
They can do whatever they want. Everybody can do whatever they want. This is another one of those.
Well, it's not that it's wrong.
I mean, it's just another one of those meaningless things. I mean, that, you know, that people can debate back and forth, but it means nothing. I'm just proud of the fact that my broadcast partner is on there because I'm proud of my broadcast partner. Joe Montana is the quarterback as selected by voters for the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions, as opposed to a panel of ESPN guys sitting in a room in Bristol. Joe Montana is the quarterback. Emmitt Smith and Franco Harris are the running backs. Lynn Swann and Jerry Rice are the wide receivers. Jay Novacek's the tight end. The offensive line, Mike Webster, Forrest Gregg, Art Shell, Gene Upshaw, Larry Allen. Defense, the linemen are Joe Green, Randy White, Reggie White, and Charles Haley. The linebackers are Jack Hamm, Jack Lambert, Lawrence Taylor, and Ray Lewis. Believe it or not, I disagree with Lawrence Taylor. Mel Blount, and you should hear Jack go on about Mel Blount. So many times he brings up Mel Blount to me in conversation. Mel Blount and Deion Sanders justifiably are the corners. The two safeties, you can't argue with them either, Ronnie Lott and Jake Scott. The place kicker is a no-brainer. It's Adam Vinatieri. He won two of them in the final kick. Ray Guy is the punter. And Desmond Howard is the kick returner. Here's why I argue with Lawrence Taylor. The reason I argue with Lawrence Taylor is this. And remember, in full disclosure, I think most people now know listening to the show, I grew up a New York Giants fan. Lawrence Taylor did not play well in either one of the Super Bowls that he won. He didn't play well in either one of them. Carl Banks and Harry Carson both played better than he did. He really was a non-factor in both games against the Broncos and the Bills. Yeah, I mean, he's there, and he had to be accounted for and so forth, but he was not the dominant player in those games. You'll also notice here, there are no very, let's see, I don't see any player here. And Vinatieri's the only active player on here. There are no players from recent Super Bowls on here. You know, Tom Brady obviously won, but I mean, Joe Montana's got the better, he's got the better record. He never lost, and he never was picked.
You know, one of the ones that I thought might make the list, and actually I kind of thought maybe might make the list over Swan.
Jerome Bettis?
No, Swan was Stallworth. But Stallworth has, doesn't he still hold the record for the most receiving yards in the playoffs?
I have no idea. It's worthy of argument, except the difference is if you had to really nitpick between the two, Swan was at least a Super Bowl MVP.
Well, and I'm not saying he's a bad pick. Don't get me wrong.
he's a Super Bowl MVP for what he did in 10, and he really made the big catch that put the game away in 13, too. Just like Stallworth made the catch to put 14 away.
But I think Stallworth has career playoff record. I don't think it's a Super Bowl record.
Yeah, that's apples or oranges. I mean, you know, it's like you can't lose with either one. I can see why you'd say that. You can't lose with either guy. You really can't.
Because there was one, I think it was 78 and 79. He had almost 300 yards receiving in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, that was the collective playoffs. This is the Super Bowl.
I think this is the Super Bowl that they're talking about. And that's why I felt the Lawrence Taylor one. I thought, okay, Lawrence Taylor was the dominant defensive player of his era. There's no getting around it. I mean, into the 80s, you know, in the 80s into the early 90s, he was the dominant defensive player in the game. No question about it. But in the two Super Bowls he played in, he was good, but not the dominant player of the game. In fact, you could say the best defensive player in the game in the Bills Super Bowl, for example, you'd be arguing between Carl Banks and Harry Carson and Bruce Smith of the Bills. Bruce Smith had a great Super Bowl 25. Super Bowl 21, Banks was awesome. Played a great game. He and Harry Carson both. Taylor was good, but not great in each one.
And by the way, I don't think anybody can debate Jerry Rice being on that list. I mean, he has more Super Bowl, more playoff touchdowns even than anybody.
I think there's no debate on a lot of these. I mean, these are all Hall of Famers. Joe Montana, Emmitt Smith, Franco Harris, Lynn Swan, Jerry Rice. Now, Jay Novacek's not. Webster, Greg, Shell, Upshaw, Larry Allen, Reggie White, Charles Haley, Joe Green, Randy White, Lawrence Taylor, Jack Ham, Ray Lewis is not there yet. He will. Jack Lambert, Mel Blunt, Deion Sanders, Ronnie Lott, Jake Scott, right? Adam Vinatieri, Jerome Bettis, Ray Guy, and Desmond Howard. Now, Desmond's never going to get there.
I like the choice for coach.
It's Chuck Knoll.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he won four of them, never lost. And I think the only other person that would compete with him would be probably Bill Walsh. But Walsh won three. He did not win four. Remember, George Seifert won the other one. George Seifert won two, right? And Seifert was the coach in Super Bowl 24. Walsh won three. Knoll won four, and he did so in 6 years. And never lost. So, I mean, I think that was kind of a no-brainer, too, as a matter of fact.
Eight Steelers, by the way, on this roster.
Well, they should be eight Steelers on this roster because, look, I mean, you know, you got 49ers, Cowboys, Steelers, 49ers, Cowboys. Okay? Steelers, Packers, Raiders, Cowboys. Okay? Packers, both 49ers and Cowboys. Steelers, Cowboys. Giants, Steelers, Ravens, Steelers, 49ers and Cowboys. 49ers, Dolphins, Patriots, Raiders, and Packers. That's what you get. There is not a great spreading of the wealth there, if you notice, among teams. These are all these guys. Let's see. with the exception of, I mean, let's see here. Montana won 4, Smith won, what, 3, Harris won 4, Swan won 4, Rice won 3, Novacek won 3, Webster won 4. He went 4 or 3? 4, I guess. I guess he was still on the roster for the other one. 4, Forrest Gregg won 2, Archell won 2, Gene Upshaw won 2. I don't think they were on Super Bowl 18, were they? Maybe they won 3. Maybe Shell and Upshaw won 3. Allen won 3. Reggie White won 1. Charles Haley won 5. Joe Green won 4. Randy White won 2. No, I think Randy White only won 1. He was not on the Super Bowl 6 roster. He won 1. Lawrence Taylor won 2, Jack Ham won 4, Ray Lewis won 2, Lambert won 4, Blunt won 4, Deion Sanders won 3, Ronnie Lott won, I think Ronnie Lott won 4, Jake Scott won 2, Vinatieri was a part of, I want to say 3, Ray Guy won 1, Desmond Howard won 1. So almost everybody on there has multiples. See, all this. See, we've opened up the show every day this week with something fun that you like to talk about.
And I'm excited. You know, there's one other thing that I didn't have on a list today, but they named the NFL officials for Super Bowl 50. And you know what I liked about this list? There is no name that jumped out to me that I recognized. In a year where we actually scrutinized officials more than I think ever, this list, there's no name that jumps out to me and says, oh, I remember him from this game. I mean, the name may sound familiar, but I can't tell you why or how. I think that's a good thing.
All right.
Cleet Blakeman.
No offense. No offense.
I know. You don't care.
To what you just said. All right. No offense to what you just said.
Okay.
The only name anybody would recognize would be Cleet Blakeman. There is no There's no other name of any other official in the league that a single person in the Valley can name as an NFL official, except for the person that is the referee.
Referee
is the only one that is FaceTime, the only one that has mic time. The other ones don't, so nobody would know the names of the other people.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the other thing was, like I said, I don't even Cleet Blakeman. I know the name, and I've heard the name, but not in a negative, not with anything negative attached to it. At least nothing that I could think of. And in a year where we criticized officials, I think that's a great thing.
Well, you have to remember that this is, these people are the all-star group, all right? They're the all-star group.
Do you like using all-star groups for playoff games, postseason games? I mean, at any level?
Yeah, you're good, you're good. Who cares?
I would rather recognize the entire group of officials, not just one official, and then put them all together. Then they haven't worked together before, or they rarely work together. I would rather recognize a crew as an entire crew that has worked together all year, that knows everybody's positioning, understands where everybody's mind is, you know, understands everybody's little comments and thought process. I think I would rather see at any level of football and any level of sport, recognizing officials as a group, not just individual officials.
Again, you overthink it. They'll be fine.
I've never been accused of thinking.
Okay. In basketball, all the time, they rotate who you work with. All the time.
That's true.
It's not the same three guys that are out there. And these people were switched up during the season anyway. How many times during the course of the year were officiating crews switched up? Actually, several times. They just want to get out there. What do they have? 8 officials now? Do they have a center official or they don't? I guess college has eight. The NFL is seven. NFL is seven
and right? A replay guy.
Yeah, okay. The college has eight now.
Right. At the FBS level.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I do minor league baseball. There are two umpires, not four.
Right. So, no, I'm just saying, cause I saw it once this year in person. When Bucknell played Army, that was the first time I had seen an eight official crew. And it was funny. We kind of made mention. I think Joe made mention of that, saying, you know, we might see a few more calls that we didn't normally see because there are more guys out there to see them.
Yeah. Well, there was also the Dick Carter theory. I asked him in the pregame show in 1982 about the addition of a third official. And he said, Steve, it's just one more guy that can mess up. All right. So we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When the snow goes in to your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
Winter has finally arrived.
Were you ready?
If not, no problem. Sunbury Motors has snowbusting vehicles to help you through the next big storm. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 50 2016 Ford Escapes in stock. Save $3,750 now. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Check out the vehicle that redefines the compact SUV with its new design. The all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. The all-new 2016 Hyundai Tucson all-wheel drive starts at just $24,820. Sunbury Motors Kia has 49 snowbusting Kia Sorentos and Sportages, all clearly sale priced and all with 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. See their entire snowbusting inventory at sunburymotors.com. A tradition of trust for over 100 years.
Do you follow the games?
Every once in a while.
Do you watch the games?
Every once in a while, if they interest me.
If they interest you.
If I'm interested. Like last night. I watched the game last night. Very interested in the entire game. Loved every minute of it.
What game was that?
Chickalamy Sealands Grove. Enjoyed every minute of that game.
Once again, endearing yourself to the Sealands Grove fans. Well done. Okay.
Listen, it didn't matter. No, it was just a great physical game. All right. It was a great game.
Yeah. All right. Bottom of the hour. And got news coming up. Got a lot going on. We'll get some recruiting stuff in today. That'll be great. Looking forward to that very much. And then we'll go from there.
We got the NHL All-Star Game coming up, Steve.
Tim King's going to join us today to talk about Penn State hockey. Ryan Snyder tomorrow. I think you'll like that. Nikki Javala tomorrow. Got a lot going on in tomorrow's show. Ryan Snyder on recruiting. Brandon Quinn on Michigan basketball. I owe Quinny, by the way. Joe Person from the Charlotte Observer on the show next week. Okay? Part of our Super Bowl hype week. Kevin says he didn't recognize the names of any of the other officials. He just joined every single person in America outside Dean Blandino.
Actually, I'm not sure if he recognizes some of the names.
I would hope so. It's his department.
Again, not sure.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. talking a little hockey here in just a few minutes. Penn State hockey, as a matter of fact. But one interesting story popped up today is the Capitals winger Alex Ovechkin and the Chicago Blackhawks center, two of the biggest stars in the NHL right now, were supposed to play in the 2016 All-Star Game in Nashville this weekend. But one has an injury, the other has been out for an illness, and the NHL said that they are going to be replaced on the roster.
Sorry. Okay, you know why, where I was.
Oh, yeah.
You can explain.
It was the ham hotline rang.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to tell you the message I left him.
The ham hotline.
And just a few items we wanted to talk about. So
sure,
a few items.
Well, I was leading up to the what I think is a ridiculous NHL rule involving two pretty important names in hockey not playing in the All-Star game and being suspended because of it.
Good. That's fine.
Well,
it's hockey.
Yeah, but it's not because they don't want to play in the game. And you would think in the NFL, that's the way it is. It's like a punishment in the NFL to play
Everybody
in the Pro
wants
Bowl.
Out. Everybody no, wants out.
Nobody wants to play in the Pro Bowl. It's like a punishment if you get elected to the Pro Bowl. But you get selected here to the NHL All-Star Game. And the reason these guys don't want to take over is Ovechkin, for instance, has an injury. And he's out with it. And then there's another guy with an illness. And he's been out with the illness. Matter of fact, didn't play in the third period in the Blackhawks' last game. But yeah. The NHL is going to suspend them for one game for missing the All-Star game because they weren't feeling well or were injured. All right, if you're just opting out to opt out, okay, I get the suspension thing. I understand that. But it's an injury. It's an illness. They weren't going to play anyway if they had a regular game scheduled.
Okay, now remember this, all right? I want you to remember this. Some of the greatest words in sports are suspended with pay. Okay. There you go. All right.
I can't argue with the fact that they will continue to get paid. All right.
Some of the greatest words in sports, and Jack and I have talked about this many times, suspended with pay. All right. On this day in sports history, before we get to Tim King talk about Penn State hockey, they play Michigan tonight. The University of Chicago awarded blankets with the letter C on it to all seniors that played in the football season in 1903. They did this in 1904. This event marked the beginning of sports letter traditions. 1922, the NFL franchise in Decatur, the Decatur Staleys, transferred to Chicago and took on the name Chicago Bears. Let's see. 1957, the Brooklyn Dodgers announced that circus clown Emmett Kelly had been hired to entertain fans at baseball games. Let's see. Also on this day, Joe Montana, third MVP award. Niners beat the Broncos 55-10 in the Super Bowl. Cowboys beat the Steelers 27-17 in 1996 in Arizona. And there we go. In 2003, the WNBA announced that the Connecticut Sun had been awarded a franchise. They became the first team in the history of the WNBA to be owned by a non-NBA owner. They're owned by, obviously, the Mohegan Sun. So there you go. That's this day in sports history. Let's bring in Tim King now to talk about Penn State hockey. While Kevin mulls over the concept of suspended with pay. You like that, don't you?
That's not a bad gig. I understand that point of view of it.
Suspended with pay. It's an interesting concept.
I'm used to suspended without pay.
And I talked to Mark Lawrence, and he says, Kevin earns it. Okay, let's bring in Tim King. Timmy, welcome. Great to have you with us, bud.
Good to talk to you, Steve.
Good.
You're still shovel worn out?
Fortunately, a couple of years ago, I bought a snowblower.
And
there you go.
I was talking to Dick Girardi last night, and I said, "How much did you get?" You know, well, actually, I already knew. We had texted each other on Saturday. So he said, "We're getting crushed here." He said, "We got 18 inches of snow, and of course, here we got 8." And,
yeah.
And I said, "Do you have a snowblower?" He says, "No, machinery and." We don't mix. So it sounded like, and then his brother Joe Girardi confirmed last night. He says, "Look, all of us." He says, "He's my. I met Jack. You know, they know both Jack and Joe pretty well now." He said, "Not one of us. Not one of us can machinery. No." It's like, okay,
okay.
This team has played, obviously, well, and not only that, but they've had the ability at times to pull the fat out of the fire, overtime goals. What has it been about their ability in the moment to make something positive happen?
This team believes in itself, and this team has a very low threshold of panic. It takes a lot for this team to kind of mentally come unraveled. They did a little bit, maybe for the first time all season, Saturday night. The third period, really chasing their tails the whole time and just making bad situations worse. But by and large, this team has looked at just about every deficit it's seen this year and said, yeah, we could do that. And then has remarkably gone on and done it.
What's interesting is I worked, obviously, on BTN, the Minnesota game, when they won in overtime. I kind of felt like they were chasing. They built up a 2-0 lead, and then Minnesota came back and tied them. And I kind of felt they were chasing. And all of a sudden, boom, they found something and scored. Won the game.
It
was remarkable because Minnesota, I felt, over the final two periods of that game, carried the play.
They did, and carried it right on into the next night. And really gave some of the freshmen a lesson about why you don't cheat on a hockey rink, and not cheat, you know, in the Pete Rose sense of the word, but you know, cut corners, try to take a chance, you know, not pay attention to some little detail, and you do that against a good team, and it winds up in the back of your net. A little bit of that was going on Saturday night, but by and large, they just believe in themselves. They look in the mirror and they go, yeah, we can do this.
Tim, what is it about the young players on this team? We're now guys using three different power play groups.
This freshman class was a great unknown to a lot of us coming into the season. And I am a little bit in awe of them, not as much hockey players as just people. They're getting it done on the ice, and they're getting it done off the ice. They're you know, their grade point averages are outrageous. They get it. They understand what it means to be a hockey player at a great university like this. They're just fitting in, and you know, they really believe in themselves. When they hit the ice, there's that real fine line between belief and arrogance. And you've seen it in football players. You know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it.
Yeah.
These kids can do it. These kids step right up to the line and go, "No, I'm not fooling myself, but boy, I can do this, and I can do it really well, and I know when to do it, and I know when to do it when it's going to help my team."
It certainly does help to have a 1-2 punch in goal because they stay fresh when you can do what they're doing. What have you seen in both McAdam and in Scoff, where each seems to excel, and how do they do it in different ways?
Matt is a smaller, physically smaller goaltender, so for him, positioning is more critical. He's got to make sure the puck finds him, even when there's a tangle of bodies out front. And he's not a slight person. I mean, he is 6'1", but by today's goaltending standards, he's, you know, average to slightly below average in size. He's good positionally. He's good tactically. He cleans up the little details. His teammates really believe in him. The guys that have been here for a year or two or three, they really believe in him. They know that he can handle it. Eamon McAdam this year has really grown into the goaltender that looks like somebody's third-round draft choice. He is very confident. He is very athletic. He is very determined. He wants the puck. He has this desire, you know, I'm going to stop everything that comes in my way, and if I have to knock people over to do it, I'll do it because I'm making the next save. And that's, you talk to NHL goaltenders, they all have that mindset. I'm making the next save. It doesn't matter what just happened, I'm making the next one. And he's there. Mentally, he is there. And that's, they're good teammates, they're good friends off the ice. They play off of each other. They understand that, you know, both of them would want to be the man, but they understand that this is the way this works for this team, and they're completely buying into it.
Michigan's unbeaten in six, and in fact, they own the third period this year. I mean, they own it.
Yeah.
They have outscored their opponents 40-14 in the third period. When you look at Michigan, how balanced are they offensively when you look at them? Just to start there.
Oh, they are balanced all over the place. Their offense can come at you. Their fourth line is as good as some of the first lines that we've seen earlier in the season. It can come from everywhere. And when you've got as many NHL draft picks scattered around up front as they do, everybody that touches the puck can be your worst nightmare at a moment's notice. Their problem is the blue line and in goal. Their defensemen tend to run around a little bit. A couple of them, Downing especially, really sometimes takes himself way out of a play to make a big hit. Sometimes it works, a lot of times it doesn't. If you don't get the guy, then you've left your defensive partner with a 3-on-1 break. Their goaltending is hit and miss, and their goaltending has been hit and miss for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So, you can get into, and Ohio State got into a game with them 2 weekends ago that was just an 8-6 firefight. I mean, it looked like a beer league hockey game. Guys were scoring from everywhere. Guys were throwing pucks from stupid angles, and they were going in. It was just, it was completely insane. And in the back of my mind, I could almost see one of these games, either Thursday or Saturday, turning into that, because both of these teams could score almost at will at times.
Well, you know, I mean, what's interesting about it is they've been outshot by 100 shots this year.
I mean,
I mean, that's the odd thing about Michigan. You look at them, they've been outshot by 100 shots this year. I think it's 115 or 120.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have two guys playing up front, and Connor being one of them, and Werenski on the back line. Both of them could and probably should be playing in the NHL right now.
Right.
And that's, you know, at this level of hockey, if you've got two guys that have that kind of all-world talent, you can make a lot of mistakes go away.
Yeah.
And they can and they have. So, you know, it's I've been kidding people in the press box looking forward to this for a couple of weeks. I said, you know, when you play Michigan, no lead is safe from them and no lead is safe with them.
Right.
Just because you're down two doesn't mean you're out of the game, but just because you're up three doesn't mean you're out of the game either.
Red Berenson, of course, I think most people who remember Red Berenson playing remember him playing for the St. Louis Blues. I think more than anything
He played in the first hockey game I ever saw.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, in person, in the old Civic Arena. Brett Berenson and the Plager brothers.
Ah.
About 9,000 penalty minutes that night. Everybody got into a brawl.
Was it Barkley Plager?
And I was coming up to sit behind the goal, and I wanted to be a goalie from that day forward.
Barkley Plager?
Yeah.
Was one of them? Who was the goaltender? Was it Glenn Hall?
Glenn Hall was their goaltender, and Les Binkley was the Penguins goaltender.
Les Binkley. But Red Berenson actually played 2 years with the Rangers back in the 60s. Everybody's going back into the garden. How special is it for these guys to play a game in Madison Square Garden?
It's one of those buildings that maybe the physical building doesn't live up to the hype of it, but it's Madison Square Garden. You've seen X number of enormous sporting events that have gone on in this building, and fantasized about, wow, what would it be like to play on that ice? What would it be like to play on that floor? And you have to kind of tamp it down a little bit when you get into the building. It's like, okay, guys, it's another building. It's another sheet of ice. It's 200 by 85, and you got to beat these guys. So forget all this other stuff. But you could see when we were there last year that a couple of the freshmen were kind of walking around with the eyes in the ceiling, right, and going, wow, it's just really cool.
Yeah.
But it you know, and it's big for the program because it gets us in front of our alumni base in New York. It gets us, it gets us column inches in the New York Times. It gets us coverage where we don't normally get coverage. And when you're a fourth-year program, all of that helps. You know, we're still trying to push this rock uphill. And games like this will help the pushing.
Yeah, no, there's a question about that. I think also it's great for the Big Ten. Big Ten Network's going to do their shows from there all the way through. It is a big deal. Like, they're in the, you know, it's interesting that the television contract negotiations have been very, very quiet. Have you noticed that? Very quiet.
Well, you and I have had this discussion before about where's the limit of this.
Well, I think they've been very quiet, which means I actually think that's a good thing. I think that's
a good sign. It'll just get done.
And this New York series that they have is just another, hey, look, the Big Ten is part of the East Coast. The Big Ten is a part of New York. I think that this is a very important big picture weekend for the conference. And I think it's going to be terrific. Look forward to seeing you out there on Friday night even. You and Tripper will get you guys to go out. We'll pick some great restaurant out. I mean, I know Tripp wants to go to the Olive Garden, but that's fine.
He disappointed there's no Hooters near the hotel.
I mean, it's like, okay, let's try these two names, Smith and Walensky. We'll see you Friday.
There you go.
We'll see you.
Alrighty.
I've got ideas. Been there a couple times. All right. That's why with the garden thing, I remember when Penn State won the NIT. When Penn State won the NIT there, and that's actually the last time I was there.
But you would absolutely love the press box they built up there.
Well,
world.
Well, we're going to be on the floor.
Right. Come upstairs and watch over our shoulders. It's sure. It's quite a place.
Well, I remember Danny Morrissey when Penn State won its way to the semifinals. They beat Florida. So they're practicing in the Jordan Center. Danny Morrissey comes up. He says, Mr. Jones, it must be really a great thrill for you to do a game at Madison Square Garden. I said, Danny, I said, no offense. I said, I've done a dozen games at Madison Square Garden. I said, win the thing.
Yes,
I said, exactly. Now I'll be thrilled. All right.
and here's the other thing real quickly about this week.
Yeah.
And some of our fan base doesn't understand this yet. We only have six games left the rest of the season against ranked opponents. And you pull yourself up in the pairwise rankings and all the statistical rankings that the NCAA uses for at-large tournament bids. They're based on what you do against other ranked teams. So it doesn't matter if you play these two games on an ice floe in the middle of the Gulf of Alaska.
Yeah.
These games you need to win. It'd be great to win in New York. It'd be great publicity. The 6 points are more important.
I'm a little concerned about the sheet of ice in the Gulf of Alaska thing. It's just, I'm sorry.
Have you ever seen the ice at the Garden?
yes, I have. As a matter of fact, not the best.
All right. No,
not the best. Hey Tim, thanks. We'll probably see you Thursday, but we'll definitely see you Friday.
Absolutely, looking forward to it.
Tim King, color analyst, Penn State Sports Network. We'll come back. Kevin will tell us about his restaurant reviews from New York in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.